As followers of Jesus, we are called to be people who give thanks. We're called to be a people who understand that God created everything that is, and from the bounty of creation, God provides for all humanity, providing everything that is needed. We're called to see that God is a God who loves us, who shows us boundless mercy and compassion, who strengthens us and supports us. We're called to see God made incarnate in the person of Jesus, the one who dies and is raised on the third day for us, so that we might be lifted to the divine life. And we're called to see God the Holy Spirit indwelling, being present within us, leading us, shaping us, forming us, and empowering us for the work to which we are called. And so in response to all of God's great generosity and love, we're called to be people who give thanks, people who praise and worship God, people who, from the bounty of all that we have been given, give a portion away for the care of others, being good stewards of what has been entrusted to us. We're called to see God at work in the world, in our lives, all around us, moment by moment. This call to thanksgiving, rather than being a call to discrete moments when we happen to think, oh, I should be thankful, or moments when something very particular and striking happens, we're rather called to be people who live by thanksgiving, who don't just practice those moments of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is not a call just when we happen to be struck by it, not a call for this hour when we gather on Sunday morning, but it is in fact a way of life. It's no accident that we gather this morning to celebrate the Eucharist. Eucharist being a word from the Greek which means not just thanksgiving, but great thanksgiving. We come together as a people who are marked by giving thanks. Each time we celebrate the Eucharist, we begin the Eucharistic prayer with these words: "It is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth." That call to thanksgiving is a call to a way of life, to dwell in gratitude, and to give thanks to God with our very lives. A few years ago, Anne Voskamp wrote a book called 1,000 Gifts, A Dare to Live Fully Right Where You Are. And this book came out of a challenge a friend of hers gave her. Actually, it was a dare, as the title says. A friend dared her to make a list of 1,000 gifts she had received. Not things she hoped for, not things she hoped she would see someday, but 1,000 things that she had received that were gifts to her. She has a web page, and on that page is a video in which she talks about this experience. And she begins by asking the question, how do we live Eucharistically every day? How do we live by thanksgiving every day? How do we take each moment as an act of thanksgiving, even in the face of challenge? She says this: how do we find joy in the midst of deadlines, debt, drama, and daily duties? What does the Christ life really look like when your days are gritty, long, and sometimes even dark? How is God even here? But she sets out. She sets out to write that list of 1,000 gifts. And from that experience, she comes to her realization. She says, the dare to write down 1,000 things I love is a dare to name all the ways God loves me. So she sees that this invitation is much broader than a friend challenging her to a task. She realizes that noting the activity of God in our lives with gratitude is a spiritual discipline. It's a spiritual discipline to chronicle the gifts that God gives us. So she suggests doing things like keeping a gratitude journal, a place where you write down moment by moment in those most ordinary times, maybe doing the dishes as she experienced, when something happens and it's a moment of grace. And further, she's invited people to share on Twitter their experiences. Twitter works very well to share a blessing you've received. And people around the world have joined her in tweeting their daily blessings. I have to be honest that on this morning, I find myself particularly grateful, and grateful in a particular way, grateful for things that I often don't pay much attention to. Sadly, it's in response to Hurricane Matthew and watching the horrors unfold in Haiti, where, at least when I checked this morning, the death toll is estimated to be as high as 900. 30,000 people are homeless, and 61,000 people are living in shelters. This renews the gratitude that I sometimes miss, gratitude for my life, for having a home, food, for being warm and dry this day. So while the call is certainly to us to support relief in Haiti, I think it's also an opportunity to be renewed in our appreciation of all that we have been given, to see the ordinary gifts that we have that we may miss moment by moment. And ultimately, what we're talking about today and what's throughout our readings is that strong connection between faith and gratitude. The gospel has the account of the healing of 10 lepers, one of whom is thankful and returns thanks to Jesus. Jesus is continuing, as he does for many chapters in Luke, his journey to Jerusalem, to that city where he will be killed and then raised on the third day. And along the way, he's preparing his disciples. He's teaching them so that they will be able to both face Jerusalem, but also how they're called to live in that moment and beyond. Now, the passage we heard this morning follows right after the one we heard last week. They form the whole of the chapter. Last week was the account of the mustard seed. The disciples worrying in the face of this journey. It's so challenging. How can I have enough faith? And Jesus saying, by way of comforting them, if your faith is the size of a mustard seed, that nearly invisible seed, you have enough. Faith is not to be hoarded. Faith is not to be counted. Faith is to be lived. It's a way of life. So you have faith and you live it. Jesus today is making that connection now with faith and gratitude. To live is to give thanks. Living in gratitude is how we live the life of faith. To practice gratitude is to practice faith. And so thanksgiving in today's account is part of the healing of the soul. It draws closer to God those who give thanks. It leads them closer to that abundant life. And of course, that act of giving thanks is one of opening ourselves, moving beyond ourselves, seeing God at work, seeing others. So we have these 10 lepers. One returns giving thanks, and Luke tells us he turns around. Now, this could just be a simple description of he's going one way, then he says, oh, I'm going to give thanks, and turns back to Jesus. But in Scripture, turning around often means going in a new direction, embracing a new life, a kind of conversion and transformation. And it's striking that after he turns around and goes back to Jesus, Jesus says to him, get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. And that Greek word for faith means both for well, means both well, but also saved. Something has happened to this man, and he has been transformed. He's not just been healed of his leprosy, he has been changed. He's been made well in body and in soul. And of course, the way he responds to this healing, to this restoration of body and soul, is by giving thanks and praising God. Jesus is, I think, telling us that the appropriate response on our part to God's grace is praise and thanksgiving. To see God at work and to give thanks to God for all the blessings that we receive moment by moment. To be focused on God, not lost in ourselves and our challenges. To be focused on all that God is doing. The leper is healed, he's transformed, and then he can't remain silent. He praises God, and that's our call, to be people of gratitude who can't help but shout God's praises. Now, as Anne Boskamp herself says, it can be difficult to be thankful in challenging times. It can be hard to see God at work, particularly in times of illness or loss or death. But it's my conviction that God is there, and I've had the experience in my own life that God's blessings are there, though they may be different than what we have hoped for or are expecting. In times of illness, God may or may not be found in the healing of the person who is ill. Some people are healed, some are not. But God's blessings are still there, I believe, in the way that God is present to whoever is suffering, supporting, being present to them in the time of their illness. How God is present through friends and family and others who visit the person, who comfort and care for and support the one who is ill. How the healing arts practiced are a gift of God, and how medicines ultimately come from the bounty of God's creation and are developed through science and skill. God can be present to us if we have eyes to see, even in the most challenging moments of our lives. And so we're called to be people who understand that connection, that the life of faith is about living a life of thanksgiving and gratitude, knowing that it may even seem daunting. It may seem unclear where to start. It may seem like we need to do something big, something dramatic, some kind of big new adventure. Or maybe we need some sign to start. But I think it is actually lived in the ordinariness of life. In our lesson this morning, we have the story of Naaman, who's a great army commander for the king of Aram. Now, we're told he's a mighty warrior, but he has leprosy, and he cannot beat this leprosy. Through a girl who has been taken captive from the people of Israel, Naaman learns about the prophet Elisha, and he seeks out Elisha for healing. And Naaman arrives at Elisha's house, as we heard in the lesson, full of his importance. He has his retinue with him, and he is sure that Elisha will come out and welcome him and have some grand gesture and wave his hands, and there'll be a dramatic healing. It doesn't happen like that. Instead, Elisha doesn't even come out. He sends a servant and says, "Go wash in the Jordan 7 times. Naaman is furious. His importance has not been recognized. He tells how, in his rage, how surely the waters of Damascus are better than the Jordan River. But his servants pull him back from that rage and say, "If it had been difficult, you would have done it. Give the simple thing a try." And so he goes and washes 7 times in the Jordan, just as Elisha told him, and he is healed. Now, interestingly, the word in the Hebrew used for healed also means turn back, just as it does in the gospel. Something more than just healing happens to Naaman. He has a kind of conversion and transformation. And in fact, he says that he has come to believe in the God of Israel. And he gives thanks to God. And at the end of the account, he recounts how God's deeds are great and the Lord is gracious and full of compassion. Naaman reminds us that in the midst of life, when it comes to the restoration of our souls, it can sometimes be the simple things that allow that transformation to happen. It can happen in the moment of an ordinary time, in ordinary life, not necessarily in complicated and dramatic ways. It can come in times of quiet and prayer. It can come in times of regular worship with the community of God. It can come through that awareness that God has blessed us so abundantly in being thankful for God's blessings in the ordinary moments. It can come through that gratitude for God's love and compassion. Our lessons all also tell us that God operates in surprising ways and often outside the rules that we humans have. There can be surprise in who God calls and whom God welcomes. Both Naaman and the leper are foreigners. The leper's a double foreigner. He's a Samaritan, not welcomed by the people of Israel. And he's a leper. He's ritually unclean. And yet God is active in both their lives. And they both have a conversion, a transformation in which they come to praise God. Those who are in, who are part of the in crowd, don't always understand where God is acting. And they even exclude those who are outside the community. May not see that God is working in the lives of everyone, that all people are beloved children of God. I feel that that particular emphasis in our lessons today is incredibly important, particularly in our nation at this time, when we are such a polarized and fractured nation, when we can't even talk to one another across the divides that separate us. This is a call to remember that we are all beloved children of God, and that call to build relationships and to see in the other, even the one we most disagree with, a beloved child of God. That being an outsider can also be part of the makeup of our interior lives. There can be times when we might feel outside of God's embrace. We might feel unworthy or not strong enough or somehow inadequate. And these lessons remind us that in those moments, God calls us. God shows us love and mercy. God shows us welcome. When we stand at a distance like those lepers, Jesus stands waiting, waiting to draw us closer, to welcome us into the community. God is there to heal our distance, to heal any sense of our inadequacies, because in Christ, all are welcome as we are welcome, and God offers that possibility of healing and restoration. So this day, let us give thanks for the witness of Naaman, of the thankful leper, of all those people who have seen the activity of God and given great thanks. May we turn to Jesus, accepting his love and mercy with gratitude that will not be stifled, that we shout out in praise of God for all that God has so done in love and abundance for us. May our witness, our praise of God through our words, as well as through our lives, show others the God whom we love and worship, that our lives may be witnesses, that for us faith and thanksgiving may so be expressed in joyful gratitude, that all may come to know and love the God who creates and redeems and loves us. Amen.